Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, deep in the heart of God's country, the American Redoubt, the staging area for freedom and liberty, and also in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. We're going to be talking a lot about that today, what's really going on, especially in regards to Iran and China. This is the year we wake up and take our freedom back, because our hope is not in man but in Jesus Christ, and we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as James 4:17 admonishes us, and I wish, oh, do I wish the Republican leadership in Washington, D.C. would listen to this. To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Well, I am encouraged, though, that the spirit of 76 is at least alive and well here in the readout. These people are getting not only themselves woken up, but their neighbors and friends woken up as well, especially with everything going on in the world today. And we are going to talk about that right now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Global economic indicators still indicate a massive decline, even though the markets are kind of bumping back up just a little bit. Folks, this is not getting better. All of the dramatic and important indicators, like the velocity of money, for example, the M2 velocity of money, all are pointing downward. Shipping indicators are pointing downward. Trade indicators are pointing downward. Currency indicators are pointing downward, except for the U.S., very interestingly, the U.S. currency. And we might get a bump up in our own value. But you're seeing it happen, not just here, but all over the world. And it is literally, we're watching chaos unfold. And when you have currency wars, you need to be careful, because that is a precursor to a shooting war, usually. So the fact that all these economic wars are going on right now, people are trying to out-devalue their currency so that they can stay competitive, it really isn't going well. And we need to be prepared. Folks, I have talked on this show for years. We need to be prepared. We need to be self-reliant Americans. There is no excuse. You can't say, if you've been listening to this show, that you haven't been warned. You need to be prepared, folks. Something is coming as a dramatic economic downturn, and most of the prognosticators that were right in 2008 are saying the same things now. This does not look good, so be prepared. Also on the international front, and we're going to be talking about the Iran deal today, but here's just a little bit of a taste. You know, this is the deal that was going to bring peace in our time, right? And now today you have two senior commanders of the Revolutionary Guards in Iran, the senior commander and a lieutenant commander, saying the following: we're getting prepared to overthrow Israel, and quote, we would welcome war with the United States. Sounds like there's going to be peace in our time. Unbelievable. Also on the international front, China dumping U.S. securities and treasuries. They are literally getting rid of U.S. debt. And eventually, there's going to be a level reached where there isn't going to be anybody buying our debt unless interest rates are raised. Okay, there isn't going to be anybody buying our debt unless that happens. Now, I don't think the Federal Reserve ever intended to raise interest rates. And it really appears that the Fed is doing nothing intentionally to see how far down this thing goes. I don't know. We're going to continue to watch and see. But one of the best summaries I saw on this is by Peter Schiff recently. I'll try to get that posted on Patriot Radio's Facebook page. It really spells out kind of the Hobson's choice we're in. We either let the markets correct and we allow this thing to correct the way it's supposed to correct, or we have some sort of other government intervention that is going to make things worse and may delay things for a little bit, but ultimately the day of reckoning is going to be worse than it would be if they let it correct now. Also on the international front, the United States shadowing a Russian ship near a nuclear sub area. Now that sounds kind of tame, but what that really is implying is that the Russians are trying to spy on our nuclear subs, get their positions, etc. And that is a threatening posture by the Russians in the Atlantic. Not to be outdone, the Chinese had warships off the Alaskan coast. Say that again, off the Alaskan coast. And this was while President Obama was there visiting in Alaska. Think that's provocative? I think so. Also on the international front, massive unrest in Europe. Refugees, especially in the Bulgarian-Macedonian border, streaming in. And, oh, by the way, ISIS fighters were caught trying to cross. And you got to wonder how many actually made it in to Europe. What we're seeing right now is literally chaos in the Middle East, now bleeding over into Europe, literally. On the national front, Hillary Clinton, I am so surprised she's not in handcuffs yet, but generated and sent classified emails. So she didn't just have it on her server. This is the server that was stored in the bathroom closet. She generated and sent classified emails on the unsecure server. And then it looks like they tried to alter everything afterwards. Folks, that's a crime. And she's still being promoted by the Democrat Party. Unbelievable to me. The Democrat Party should call for her to step aside. Do the right thing. On the national front as well, you have the EPA threatening a $16 million fine of a Wyoming rancher for the horrible sin of putting in a pond without their permission. Folks, this is just another example of the war in the West, the war on rural America, the fact that we have property rights now that are being taken away without any due process whatsoever. No court, no jury, no nothing, just a bureaucrat determining, oh, that's what's going to happen. Folks, that is not freedom. That is tyranny. And it's not just this Wyoming rancher. It's happened everywhere. But this is the fact that they're trying to do $16 million is what has grabbed everyone's attention. Folks, we're going to keep our eye on that, especially with the Coalition of Western States. And if we have to go down there and help that rancher, we're going to do it because eventually it will come here to Washington State. In fact, last year, when this survey was sent out to over 1,200 farmers in the Palouse to inventory, quote, the original prairie, that was the start of it in Washington. So anybody out there who tries to say that things like Bundy Ranch, things like what's going on in Wyoming, things like what's going on or what happened actually up in northern Idaho with the Sackett family, that these aren't going to somehow affect us here in Washington, well, they're not just lying. What they're doing is they're trying to intentionally deceive you into apathy. And from my perspective, that's unforgivable because, from a political sense, because our job is to inform people and give them solutions. And the solutions to fighting back against bureaucrats is to shine the spotlight on them. And every single time that we've done that, they've been backing down. That's the right answer. That's the American answer. That means government of the people and by the people and for the people. Also on the national front, and speaking of that same principle, now, this, what I'm about to say, if you are a pastor listening to this program today, please pay very close attention, because I'm sure you probably have some friends out there that have said the following, that this would never happen in America. And a few years ago on the House of Representatives floor, I said that if same-sex marriage was legalized, that it would begin the persecution of Christians. In fact, I ended my speech by saying, put me in handcuffs now. If put me in handcuffs in front of everybody that is watching today, in front of God and everybody, because that's where this is headed. And today, in America, a clerk in Kentucky who refuses, because of her conscience, which is an unalienable right, by the way, an unalienable right, the right of conscience, the right not to participate in an activity based on your sincerely held religious beliefs. She has now been thrown in jail for failing to marry a same-sex couple. Folks, it has happened in America that a Christian was jailed for their beliefs. Wake up your friends and neighbors, folks, because it ain't stopping with that clerk. It's going to come to all of us. And we need to stand up now. We can't be like the Russians. We can't be like the Germans who sat there and watched as their government started to jail Christians and persecute Christians and do nothing. That's not American. As Americans, we stand up and we fight tyranny as soon as it rears its ugly head, and it reared its ugly head today. And that lady is a hero. What are we going to do? Are we going to listen to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said? Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to act is to act. We will not be held guiltless. What are we going to do now in this time? On the regional front, the Supreme Court, speaking of courts overstepping their bounds, the Supreme Court of Washington State fining us $100,000 a day and then moving it into a basic education account, or at least saying that that's what we're supposed to do, has been ignored. Because essentially what they're trying to do is force us to adopt an income tax in Washington State, which the people have repeatedly voted against. Both Democrat and Republican, libertarian, conservative, liberal, have voted against this thing. And somebody tried to say the other day that you must obey court decisions. And that is flat out not true. This issue of obeying regardless of the moral consequences or the constitutional consequences is anathema to what it means to be American. You are un-American if you believe you need to just blindly follow orders and file right in line. That is un-American. And the reason it's un-American is because these issues have already been dealt with previously in American history. When the slave trade was going on, you had an entire state in Wisconsin ignore the Supreme Court of the United States when they said that those slaves needed to be returned. Folks, this is not an old idea. And then more recently at Nuremberg in Germany, Befehl ist Befehl, the idea that an order is an order and you just have to blindly file along, that was completely dismissed. As a matter of international law, dismissed. So what had happened in America 100 years previously was recognized in those courts as a matter of law that you are responsible not only for determining the constitutionality of something if you're an elected official, because that's what your oath is as required by Article 5 in the Constitution, but also the moral implications of something. And so we have a Supreme Court now here in Washington State, and we have people on both sides of the aisle ignoring them. The same principle can hold true and should hold true for what the Supreme Court ruled in same-sex marriage, period. And the fact is that if that may make some people uncomfortable, but you don't take these steps lightly. This is a very clear violation, not only of state sovereignty when the Supreme Court did that, but also of God's law. And we need to be held to a higher standard. Some people say, well, she just needs to resign. Folks, that is not an answer either, and I'll tell you why. There was a report that came out of World War II. It was called the OSS Report on the Christian Persecution in Nazi Germany. And the idea behind the report was to figure out how an ostensibly Christian country could have allowed the horrors that Germany allowed to have happened. And they came to this conclusion, that the government denied the ability of Christians to practice their faith beyond the four walls of the church. And in specific, government officials did not use their positions to stop it from happening. So anybody who says, oh, the simple solution is for her to resign, that's not the simple solution. That's the cowardly way out. That's what a coward does. They run from the problem. You need to stand up and use that position to fight back against the tyranny that's there while you have that position and power to do so. That's not some just abstract principle. That is a duty. That's the whole reason we have Article 5 in our Constitution that requires elected officials to take an oath, because it is a check and balance in our system. And it happens right now in America that we have a Christian jailed for their beliefs. On the regional front, also we have what's going on with the fires up north, and there's a lot of information coming out about that, some very grave mistakes made, especially by the U.S. Forest Service in failing to manage the forest properly. And also, our Commissioner of Public Lands here in Washington State as well told repeatedly over decades that they needed to make sure that they get out the undergrowth so it doesn't provide that fuel for these fires to continue to burn. And literally, some of these fires may not be put out for another month or two until it starts raining really hard. So we're going to keep our eye on that, and we're going to hold these folks accountable that should have been managing these forests properly. Also on the regional front, the state party considering a change to Rule 37, in other words, to disenfranchise people's votes here in the next presidential primary. We have some more information coming on that. There's supposed to be a decision here in 11 days. I'm sorry, 10 days now on this issue. The bottom line is that the party tries to change rules to disenfranchise everybody but who the establishment folks are, and we need to call it out. So I'm going to be talking with many people about that, get some more details out to you as I get them. On the local front, 16,000 pounds of supplies delivered to Stevens County, Washington. And also, as I understand it, one of our folks up there coordinating on the ground says almost worth $2 million to get delivered up there. Great job, patriots across the state of Washington. Many different groups involved in that. But I thank especially Liberty Watch Washington for their efforts in coordinating all of those groups and getting the supplies over there. And also, a very special shout out to Commissioner Steve Parker up there in Stevens County, who helped to point folks in the right direction for where the supplies could go. And all the commissioners are doing a great job up there, but Steve Parker in particular helped to coordinate this. Also on the local front, interesting that Todd Mielke, commissioner here in Spokane County, has come out against the Citizen Oversight Committee to oversee our sheriff. And also that Al French, the other commissioner, supports it and has previously supported it in some statements. Now, we got to get it confirmed from Al French that he does indeed support the Citizens Oversight Committee and not just on the campaign trail. But that begs the question of where the third commissioner stands, Shelley O'Quinn. And we need to begin asking Shelley O'Quinn, does she support the Citizen Oversight Committee or not? Because it appears she might be the deciding vote. Also on the local front, our sheriff here in Spokane County caught lying again. Oh my goodness, it's like a never-ending drama here with this sheriff. So he's saying that I stopped his bill for accountability for police officers. Now, by the way, I've signed on to this accountability bill or accountability petition for the Citizens Oversight Committee, but he's saying that I stopped and blocked a bill in Washington State in regards to his idea that there needs to be more ability for him to fire deputies that are lying and officers that are lying. So here's the fact of the matter. I'm in the minority caucus. It is physically impossible for me to kill a bill. That decision is always made by the Democrats. Very rarely we're able to kill a bill when the people weigh in and the leadership makes the decision not to bring it up, but it's always the leadership decision of the majority party whether a bill comes up or not. So it is a flat-out untrue statement to say that one person can kill a bill in the minority party here in Washington State in that manner. It's just parliamentary, it's not true. But also, I think we need to understand that there were a lot of attorneys that read the sheriff's version of this bill, and we're very clear that it was unconstitutional. And there are several of us that are working on fixing the problems with it and moving forward. But I want to highlight something. There already is a power for this sheriff to fire people that lie. And I'm very shocked that Deputy Hertzel, who eventually was indeed fired, but not over this, who lied on his employment form about whether or not he and his wife ran a sex toy business, wasn't fired for that. So it seems really disingenuous to me, and I think we need to call our sheriff out again on this stuff because it's not making sense. It's not adding up. And so because this kind of came out and continues to spin around, the record need to be clear on that, but also you need to be aware of it at the local level, and that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for the show. Please go to Facebook/Patriot Radio US, like the page. share it with your friends and family. Thank you to everybody that's been doing that. We have dramatically increased the footprint of Patriot Radio on social media, and thank you to everybody that's been a part of that. Also, this is a listener-supported show. It costs about $1,000 a month to stay on radio. So if you feel so inclined, please go to VoteShea.com, and you can donate through the campaign to help us stay on the air. Well, we're going to talk today about Iran, and we're going to talk about the Middle East, and we're going to talk about China as well. And I'm bringing in a subject matter expert, but all, you know, more so prophetic, actually, in some of the things that he's been writing in his novels, particularly Raven's Run. And although it's not out yet, Raven's Redemption, things need to calm down a little bit before he gets that out. John Trudell, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And boy, it's like the world is falling apart, is it not?
Matt, thank you for having me. And yes, this is a very scary time. And it's particularly disturbing as a novelist. You're a thriller novelist. I invent scary stories and I tell them to entertain. And now they are happening for real consistently. I said, what's the worst thing that somebody could do as far as attacking America? And by the book time my book comes out, it's happening.
You know, some of the stuff you can't make up, and particularly this Iran deal, you know, freeing up all this money, and immediately the mullahs go out and they purchase fighter jet aircraft, J-10 fighter jets with Israeli technology in them, and then they purchase refueling planes, which is clearly not a peaceful maneuver, peaceful intention when you do that. I mean, it's crazy.
Correct. Let me give my website and my blog address just for your readers, because the details of some of this, everything about my books is on my website, www.johntrudell, J-O-H-N-T-R-U-D-E-L, with one L, .com. And as we've been talking about, my books touch on reality, and there are a lot of people who have been very helpful in feeding me information. So I have a pretty good background on some of these things. My blog is where most of the factual stuff is, just blog, B-L-O-G, dot John Trudell, J-O-H-N-T-R-U-D-E-L, .com. But the so-called deal, it is definitely not a treaty. If it was a treaty, we would have a constitutional mandate that you need a two-thirds approval. So it's not a treaty. It's a deal. Okay. And it is absolutely incredible. My book, Raven's Run, came out late last year. And, you know, we went into Christmas season. And before I was even doing much with the book, Obama had his Christmas party. And Michelle Bachmann was retiring from Congress, and it was the last time she was going to talk with him. And she told her family, I need to leave. I'll never see him again, probably, and I need to leave him with a message. And they said, oh, it's Christmas. No, I need to do this. And so they set it up where they would pause in the reception line and give her a little space. And she raised an issue. She said, Mr. President, if there's one thing that you must do or not do, it's this. You cannot let Iran have nuclear weapons. That will change the world in a very mighty and a very dangerous way, and it will be your responsibility, and it will have, you know, just endless consequences. And, of course, he goes, there, don't worry your pretty little head about it, you know, you don't understand things. Well, she was on the House Intelligence Committee, so she was fully briefed in. But that's how that turned out. And here I am, I'm going, good Lord, you know, this is the storyline in my novel, Terrorists with Iranian Nuclear Weapons, okay? And we go a few more months, and I'm, you know, talking about the book and doing interviews. And then for the second time in American history, the whole history of our nation, this only happened once before, where a foreign head of state, major head of state, came to speak to Congress about a major threat. And the last time was Churchill talking about Hitler. And he came and he said, this is very, very bad. It's going to be terrible. And, of course, oh, this alarmist and everything else, didn't pay much attention. But there we are. And then we go a little bit further, and finally there's enough pressure that this unprecedented proposal to give nuclear weapons to a deadly enemy without letting Congress even see it, okay, get enough attention, thanks to Netanyahu mostly, that finally they passed kind of a wimpy bill that was flawed from the get-go that is playing out right now, that no, you have to let Congress see this. Okay, you have to let Congress see it. We are Congress, and you're not even going to. His position was he wasn't even going to show it to them. Okay, and so they passed the bill, and he signed it. It passed by essentially a unanimous vote. It was 100-0 in the Senate, and then one senator who was actually the good guy, Tom Cotton, changed his vote, and he says, "Well, I'm glad we're doing this. At least we get to see it." But the bill is much too weak, so I'm going to symbolically vote against it. And now this is playing out now, and we're told within 2 weeks, you know, less than 2 weeks, I guess, something is going to happen, and we're going to give Iran. The dialogue is nuclear weapons, but as you point out, it is much, much more than that. There's so much more in this bill. And if you go to blog.johntrudell.com and search for nukes, you'll see a discussion of this, and I even have the text of the agreements and everything else. But they give, you know, it will take them a while before they start deploying nuclear weapons, but immediately they get $150 billion. Now, some of it is their own money, and they can use that for terrorism. So they will put and they're the biggest sponsors of terrorism in the world to begin with. So they do that. They buy air defense systems from Russia. They buy modern weapon systems. So all that's in there. But there's more. A third of the bill is page after page after page of basically giving amnesty to various people and various groups. And it's names just page after page after page of organizations and terrorist groups. And the bomb maker that killed like a third of our troops in Iraq, he's, you know, he gets a pass on all that. And he goes on and on and on and on and on. And so, and companies that have been sponsoring terrorism and flowing weapons in and everything, they're held harmless and all their assets are freed up. So a third of this bill, which is, I don't know, 150 pages, it's just a list of names of everybody who gets a pass. Meanwhile, they have four of our hostages, which they keep. Okay, so you have that. Also in the bill is a clause that Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma has been all over this one. It's even in there that the states, the federal government will use any means available to them to prevent the states from resisting Iranian terrorism or whatever. It's not worded that way, of course. But it's a very extensive thing. It's very ominous. And what they've given in return is essentially nothing. Okay? Essentially nothing. And so what happened, I'm supposed to be finishing my new book, Raven's Redemption, which is a sequel to Raven's Run, and I normally have my books out in September. I've done that every year. Well, all this has been going on, and the world has been changing, and this happens, and the next thing, and now we have this treaty that isn't a treaty. And so what, a few weeks ago, so much was flowing through here, I put out a little short cheat sheet in my newsletter, which you get, and it was kind of a, here's six things you can do, you know, plus or minus one, to stop the deal, okay? And I think everybody agrees going in that this treaty that isn't a treaty does not in any way block Iran getting nuclear weapons. It paves the way for it, like Netanyahu said, okay? And nobody disputes that. This $150 billion, you can quibble, maybe it's only $120 and some of it is there, but massive amounts of money to provide funding for terrorism, for delivery systems, for modern weapons. And that nothing about their policies will change. They haven't agreed to do anything. They're out there, death to America and everything. And in fact, Iran can't exist without this position. It's written into their constitution, literally. Okay, the need to destroy America and Israel is part of their constitution. Now, how could this be? Well, it used to be, and we, you know, it wasn't all that long ago, that Iran was arguably one of our best, if not, you know, very close to the best, ally in the entire region. They were very supportive of America. They were modernizing their society. The women got to vote. The women got to drive. People were educated. And they had a Shah that was basically educated in England. And he was very westernized. And, of course, the street Arabs were not fond of him. And under Carter, he was deposed. His health was failing by then anyway. And this regime, I think one of Carter's advisors said, Khomeini, oh, he's just like a saint. Well, maybe on the dark side. But they've come in, and it is just absolutely radical Islam. And they are the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world. And I make up these things, and I have small-scale attacks on America. And I can't believe it. My book comes out. It's happening for real. And who is enabling it? Our own government, okay? Obama's handler, Valerie Jarrett, is Iranian. She was born in Iran. John Kerry's son-in-law is Iranian. And it was, this is one of these pieces of information that comes out, and then all of a sudden it's denied, and you can't prove it because nobody was there. But at the wedding of Kerry's daughter, the best man was the son of the Iranian guy, the minister who was negotiating the treaty. Okay, and they said that, and then they said, no, he really wasn't there. But there were pictures of him at the wedding. So both sides, both negotiating teams, were negotiating for Iran. So this is absolutely an incredible thing. And nuclear weapons, it has been so long since we have thought about that, the Cold War. But for 40 years, the only thing that kept America safe was planes that were always sitting there with nukes hanging on them and missiles were ready to go. I mean, the idea was massive retaliation, and if you attack us, there will be enough left that you will not survive. That worked against Russia. It was a scary, scary strategy. And I was in that business for part of that time as an engineer. It will not work against these mad mullahs who want to die anyway for Allah. Okay, so if you give radical Islamists modern weapons, they will use them. Or more likely, what they will do is they'll have so many conventional weapons and so many people ready to die that they stalemate you. Okay, well, we're not going to use nukes. You know, we'll be nice to you, but meanwhile, we'll annihilate Israel. And you'll be suffering from terrorist attacks. You know, we'll wear you down that way. So there is no scenario that is good. If you go to my website, something like 200 retired generals and admirals have spoken to this. And Obama found 15 or so that thought it was a good idea. But here's 200 that think it's a terrible idea. So this is the world that my novels touched. Because of that, I did this little cheat sheet about, can you block the deal? And I could talk about how it can still be done. And I've just overloaded with stuff coming through here and media interviews and people who want to talk about it. And as of yesterday, a very dark day, Obama, his administration gleefully announced that they have enough votes, 34 votes in the Senate, that if whatever happens with this Corker treaty, he can veto it. It's not bipartisan, strictly partisan, and a minority. Okay, so instead of needing 66% to approve the treaty, they have cunningly turned it upside down to where you need 66% to stop it. So that's where we are now, and it can still be stopped, but it's going to be difficult.
It is very difficult. And the problem is, too, that you have a lot of politicians in Washington, D.C., who, you know, their opinions are swayed by whatever. I don't want to, you know, get into the details of what I think it might be. But, you know, you have people suddenly, oh, well, yeah, I guess I could go along with that. And then all of a sudden we've got some terrible, terrible, terribly national, you know, terribly horrendous deal that is going to put our national security backwards by 30 years easily. And people are just kind of going along with it. And it's very frustrating to see that politicians are doing that. I know you put out a cheat sheet, and that got picked up everywhere on the internet, if you want to kind of briefly mention that. And I know you kind of alluded to it, but if you want to mention it again. But I really want to know, why do you think the Obama administration, and I know this is a little bit of speculation, but why do you think the Obama administration is going down this road when it seems so very clearly the wrong path?
Okay, to speak to your points, yeah, number one, we can go through those, and it did get picked up widely. It got out on the internet, and then the Cruz campaign picked it up and put it in their newsletter, which they do electronically. So it goes all over the place. And then Drudge Report noticed that, and they noticed me, and they favorited my part of it, okay? And so it just kind of went viral. As far as why would we do such a crazy thing, and how could we do such a crazy thing? Let's start with the Republicans, because it's very easy for me to talk endlessly about Obama's evil objectives. But the first thing, if you want to fix this, if you want to block the treaty, in my opinion, and which I think is growing some traction, including from Cruz, and next week Cruz and Trump are going to together have a conference or a demonstration or something in Washington where they're going to try to block the treaty. They're going to start talking that up, and there may be some other people involved. But step one, you're going to have to get rid of Boehner, and you're going to have to get rid of Mitch McConnell. Okay, they are rhino, go-along, get-along Republicans, and they don't want to rock the boat. They will not do anything harsh, you know. So we've killed ourselves. Allegedly, the Republicans have majorities in both houses now. And what has that gained us? Absolutely nothing. Will they stand up to Obama on this nuclear thing? I doubt it. So I think that they have to be removed. And that's already been pretty much the position of Cruz, who is in the Senate. And it's gotten to the point where, McConnell double-crossed him, and he called McConnell a liar on the floor of the Senate and everything else. And so there's all kinds of bad feelings. But you start there. The people on our side are, it's Washington insiders. It's not a coincidence that the leading people in the polls are all outsiders. You look at them, you look at Ben Carson, you look at Carly, you look at Trump, you look at certainly Cruz. They're all not traditional party insider kind of people. So you have to deal with that. Okay. Number two, the whole assumption that we have to do something by September 17th, we signed this, we passed this bill that put a timeline on it, and the clock started running. Okay, what Congress was trying to do, because they were so embarrassed. Here, Obama's going to do this, and he won't even show the deal to Congress. They were not allowed to see it. So their main negotiating, oh, at least let us see it. At least let us see it. Okay. And so they agreed, which foolishly, I think, if you'll just show us the bill, it's so embarrassing, and our constituents are all upset that we're not even allowed to see it. Yeah, well, we want to see it. And so they had deadlines. Well, okay, you can see it, but then you have 60 days, and the details were a little more complicated than that, to vote on it, okay, after we give you all the materials. So they gave him a deal. Well, they went real slap in the face. He didn't even show the deal to Congress until he had taken it to the UN and had it voted on. So the UN Security Council, of course, oh, this is wonderful. So they vote on it. Then he delivers it to Congress and says, you have 60 days to try to stop this thing, and you're going to need a two-thirds majority to stop it because I'll veto whatever you're going to do. And why they agreed to that, I have no idea, but they did. So here they are, and allegedly that 60 days runs out on September 17th. However, comma, that is false. That is not true. Because as we sit here, Congress has still not seen all of the agreements. And the way the bill was written, the one that they're allegedly constrained to adhere to, it said everything about the deal, complete accounting, annexes, appendices, codicils, side agreements, implementing materials, blah, 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 blah. They don't have those, okay? And some have come up where even Kerry has never seen them. One of them was famously leaked by Associated Press, was a deal only signed by the UN and Iran. Okay, so a copy has leaked. It's out there, and it's appendix number 2. Now, we don't know how many appendices or side agreement number 2. We don't know what number 1 is or if there's any more. But this is the protocols for how they will be inspected. Let's suppose that Iran is accused of illegally having nuclear materials, going too fast, too many centrifuges or anything else. Well, that facility has to be inspected. Well, who gets to inspect it? The Iranians get to inspect it themselves. Okay. So if they've been working with nuclear stuff, they can dig up some sand and send a box of sand to the UN and say, well, you can test our sand. There's nothing here. Literally. I mean, that's literally the stuff. So it is an indisputable fact that Congress still doesn't have all the stuff that's in the treaty. So I would argue that there is no requirement that you have 60 days, okay? So that's number 2. Point number 1 is the Republican leadership's a big part of the problem. Number 2, this deadline is bogus. Number 3, well, okay, did he have a two-thirds majority? There may be enough votes to block the deal. Well, right now he barely has the one-third to block it, 34 votes. So if... All right, what do you do then? Well, what you do then, what you could do if you wanted to stop this, is you could go for what is called, and it was, I didn't invent the term, the nuclear option. Okay? Remember the nuclear option? That was how Obamacare was passed.
Exactly.
Yeah, Harry Reid suspended the rules, so instead of a 60-vote majority, you could do it with 51, and that had never happened before. It was outrageous. People screamed, but they didn't care. Well, one person could declare that. Mitch McConnell. All right, we're going to – I mean, how fitting is that? You want nuclear weapons? We're going to use the nuclear option, okay? And we are going to pass a bill that says this is a treaty, okay? And the treaty says, since it's a treaty, you need a two-thirds majority, like the Constitution requires. So I can't see of a good, you know, it would be a very nasty thing to do and everything else, but it would stop the treaty, okay? And then number 3 is just don't vote. Don't agree to this deadline because you don't have all the materials yet. All right, so you can go on.
And that, I think, is one of the most tangible things to do. I really do, to say, look, we don't have to vote right now. Extend the timeline. Give us the time to look through everything. This is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with John Trudell, author of Raven's Run, talking about the Iran deal. So please continue with your points, John.
All right, yes. That is, in fact, what many of us out here, many of us civilians, you know, I'm just an author these days, is what Congress does best, is nothing. And say, oh, okay. Now, right now, there's some sort of a strange argument that this isn't any of our business. This is just how the UN does business in inspecting things. And it's between the UN and Iran, which I think is bizarre. But That is the argument. Now, it is our business, and written into the bill that we're arguing about here is you will provide a complete accounting, okay? Now, let's go on with that. The Wall Street Journal has run articles about this. It turns out that nuclear treaties, these are huge deals, because you go wrong on one of these, and you turn the world into a cinder, and there are all kinds of precedents. And usually what has happened, invariably some things have happened. They've never had a nuclear treaty that didn't have a two-thirds majority approval in the Senate. And on most of them, under both parties, they said, well, we're going to go beyond that. We want two-thirds of approval in both houses. Okay. And, you know, that was done on the SALT treaty and the limitation talks and everything else, because it basically sets your survivability as a nation. So the precedents are that you do have a lot of congressional oversight, and everything has to be supplied. Furthermore, the people who have been through this, we haven't had this come up since the Cold War, but it came up maybe half a dozen or a dozen times, and it was a big deal each time. In each case, complete accounting means all of the notes, all of the discussion points, everybody's diaries, as the deal was coming, what they were talking about, all the meetings, all the side meetings and everything else, the entire thing. And that was presented. It was in the congressional record, and one of the guys who did it, I think, for Reagan said, no, we got all this stuff, and we looked through it. And that would be very interesting to see, because this has been an Obama objective for a very, very long time. It was not initiated by Iran. It was initiated by the Obama administration. Kerry has been working on that since he was a senator. Okay, as soon as Obama came into office, he was over there talking with Iran, and then he got the State Department thing after Hillary went on after Benghazi. So the entire history of this, and we're talking, what, 8 years of history now, 7 or 8 years, should all be disclosed, and it hasn't been. So that's, I think, something. The nuclear option, I think, could stop it. And the other thing, this just happened yesterday. I was on another radio interview, and it was just a very dark day. My Lord, this is terrible. He's got his 34 votes, and he's going to do it anyway. Rasmussen, who I think they do pretty good surveys. They've been pretty good at predicting political things. And they did a survey after Obama. Yeah, we got 34 votes. 66% of the eligible voters in America want Congress to overtly look at this and approve it. You know, not just have Obama veto it. They want Congress to approve it. And I think that there, if enough people get willpower up, this can be stopped. If it can't be stopped, the Republicans seem to have the position, well, this isn't binding anyway, it's just an executive order, and when Obama is not elected, assuming a Republican wins, you just scratch it all off and it's all done. Well, no, Iran's already going to have all that stuff, okay? I don't think you can put the monster back in the cage. But they're saying, well, we can reverse it. No, you can't reverse it, I don't think. So I think this is a huge issue that needs to be addressed in the next week or so. And my belief is that Cruz and Trump agree with that position, which isn't necessarily my position. It's one I happen to have. But I think that's what they're going to be talking about next week. I hope it is.
Yeah, I do too, because what's going on right now is we have our enemies being emboldened, and we've only got about 7 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure we touch on the fact that now we have China with warships off the coast of Alaska. Our enemies are emboldened right now. Across the world, our enemies are emboldened, and this is just but part of it. And the Chinese have been essentially doing a cyber war on us already with the hacking, and then we have the issues of the fiber optic attacks. down near San Francisco, and also the Metcalf sniper attack a couple of years ago down near San Jose. So same basic area. What is your take on that and our enemies being emboldened and kind of this new warfare that we're seeing all over the place with, you know, with our electrical grid, our fiber optic grid, and also with our computer grid?
Give me, I got one thing I got to do. I'll be back in 30 seconds. Keep that thread going. I'll be right back.
All right. Well, this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with John Trudell, author of Raven's Run, also subject matter expert on Iran and what's going on. And my point in bringing this stuff up is you literally have countries who are already attacking us in the cyber realm. You have Russia very clearly doing it. You have China very clearly doing it. And we're not talking just, you know, a couple of attacks. We're talking hundreds of attacks on a daily basis, not just a week, a daily basis that are occurring. And these countries have been emboldened by our lack of leadership in the world and also our lack of having some sort of a coherent foreign policy, and the fact that we continue to send money and arms largely to countries that not only hate us, but that hate Christians. And so that's really where, you know, that's where I'm coming from with this. And I really want to hear John's take on this, because it's the threat to the United States, and especially with an EMP or a cyber attack, is so grave, because there is such a huge risk on one side. And then on the other side, it doesn't take a lot to really protect against it. And one of the interesting things, when I was down in Arizona about a month and a half ago now, I was being briefed by subject matter experts. These are former FBI, former CIA, law enforcement, briefing us on these threats. And they were talking about an EMP attack. If it hit Phoenix,
yeah.
Okay, there was an EMP attack that hit Phoenix, or the power grid was taken down, the casualties in 5 days would be, and the mortality rate would be 70%, because they couldn't get enough people out or enough food or water in. John, if you could comment, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, my novel that is out there now, Raven's Run, I have that scenario. And I've done a bunch of interviews on it. And what most people don't realize when they're talking to me, I didn't make this up as a novelist. Okay, and during the Cold War, we spent a lot of effort looking at attack scenarios and how could you survive them and everything else. So I've got that threat scenario in my novel, Raven's Run, which is available now. And it's real, okay? And the mortality rate, in a city, it's probably upwards of 90%, because what has happened since those scenarios were run, the laws of atomic physics have not changed, okay? So that there, much of that is still valid. But what has changed is now everything is semiconductors. And semiconductors, if you hit them with a radiation blast, they're gone. Okay, so everything, your cars, your sewage systems, your water systems, anything at all, traffic control, all your records, poof, they're gone. And in fact, what we have done by regulation, the newer pipelines, we used to, if you're running a pipeline, you used to take some of whatever you were running, gas or oil or whatever, and run some pumps. No. Now we've got to be green and clean. So they have to be powered by electricity. So you take down the power grid, you got no fuel. Real serious threats. Okay, so you have that. And as an advanced society, that's what makes us different than Africa or the backwards parts of the Arab world, because we have energy and we have communications and we have computers and we have air conditioning and all that kind of stuff. When I was over in the Mideast, one of the weirdest things I've ever saw, a major city that had no electricity, a major modern city, and the only people who could function there were basic Arabs with donkey carts and stuff like that. I was, back when I was a consultant, my client the city, it was outside of Cairo, Egypt, and they had built a huge, huge city out in the desert called 6 October City with American aid money and everything. It was a tax-free zone and everything, so businesses were there. And the client I was working for did have power and water, because the block that they were on, Mubarak's son owned the company across the street. But most of this big city, nobody lived there. Okay. And so they will still exist. But if you take away, in modern America, if you take away all of our infrastructure, we're instantaneously a third world nation. We're very vulnerable there. And Raven's Run talks about it that extensively. Now, the other thing is that's physical infrastructure. The other thing is all of our information. We've talked about before the show started the hack of the OPM data hack, the Office of Personnel Management, 21 million records and everything else. Well, Obama's campaign manager from his last campaign was put in charge of the Office of Personnel Management, and their records weren't secured. So somebody hacked them all.
Well, John, hey, we've got 30 seconds if you could. Okay. Really appreciate that. If you could plug your book and a website where people can find out more information.
Raven's Run website for the books, www.johntrudell.com. And if you want to find out more about the nuclear deal, just go to my blog, blog.johntrudell.com, 1L, and search for nukes. And you'll find a whole bunch of stuff with references and citations and even the text of the agreement that Congress wasn't allowed to see.
Great job, John. We'll have you on again. And thank you for everything you're doing. www.johntrudell.com. Thanks again. And keep up the great work. Everybody out there, I want to end the show, if I could, real quick, getting back to what happened, because we have so much going on in the world, but I want to get back to a basic principle about what just happened in Kentucky. And I want to bring up very quickly Acts 29. Okay, this is Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostle answered, "We must obey God rather than man." God bless you all.